B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The man covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. His name is Derek Gunn. Hello, Derek Gunn. How are you?
How are you doing, Mike?
We're doing good now. Yesterday, Dougie, did a little video conference. What did you get out of that? What were your impressions of what he had to say?
I thought he was politically correct in all facets. I know he raised some eyebrows, especially when he talked about Andre Dillard and his skill set. And, you know, he has to be the guy sooner or later. I know that raised a few eyebrows. And that they need a full camp to hit the ground running like every other team does. So I thought he was politically correct and basically told you exactly what he wanted you to know without telling you a whole lot of everything.
Okay, so yeah, we're not going to know a whole lot about anything until we actually see some football. So,
exactly.
And there's so many plans that are coming out there. What do your instincts tell you about whether the season is going to get off on time and how it will get off?
I think it's going to be a crash course training camp. If I had a decision in the process, I would eliminate a few of the preseason games, maybe play two games and just let all the guys who are not starting type players play the two preseason games to get in-depth evaluation of what they can do in game situations. It could be a little ragged coming out of the gate. As of right now, from everything that I've gathered, is they're doing everything possible to make sure that this season starts on time. Obviously, they're waiting for, you know, government officials and doctors to give clearance and so on and so forth. But, you know, they're trying to do their best right now. I would like a lot of us in a lot of facets in life, we're handcuffed by decision makers, but they're trying to get this thing going. I sure hope they do. I don't want to see it start in October and be pushed all the way back to mid to late February.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny. They have all these plans to start. Now, baseball has all these plans, too. And they have gone to the nth degree to be protective. Like, you can't even throw the baseball around the diamond after an out, right? That's how skittish they are about this whole thing. Now, in football, we got the helmet and the face covering that's been proposed, all this kind of thing. How can they pull this off in football, such a contact sport, when in baseball, they're kind of setting, like, no contact at all?
I know. You know, every play, you're touching another player. You're sweating on each other. You know, you got the water bottles. Everybody's spitting water everywhere. You're in close contact when you're in the locker room, the shower area, the training area. You're talking about, you know, 60-something players, 20-something coaches, trainers, so on and so forth. I don't know. I don't know how. You know, you got to spray down everything every day? You gotta check the players' temperatures every day. I don't know how they're gonna do it. I mean, maybe they have a plan in place that they haven't revealed yet. But it's gonna be interesting. You know, when it comes to the games, will it be no fans? 25%, 50% stadium capacity? How much media will be allowed in the press box to cover games? And how are you gonna handle it with all those players in the locker room and the media converging in locker rooms as well? Are you going to have to bring out key players and put them at a podium at a distance from the media? I don't know, Mike. I really can't wait to see how this thing unfolds.
Do you believe this is feasible or just a kind of a PR type of tease?
It's all about money. Bottom line is money. And the NFL is the richest sports conglomerate on the planet. The NFL, like the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, they all want to make the money. And I think the bottom line is, how can we do this, make money, and appear to be putting out a safe product in terms of protecting our workforce and those who come to the games and cover the games? So I think they honestly want to get this going, Mike. I mean, obviously from a fan base, you and I and everybody else, we want sports. We need sports. It's a part of our Americana. You know, like we talked before the draft and turned out to be true. I thought people were going to watch the draft in record numbers and that's exactly what happened out of curiosity with the virtual draft. And that just showed me that people are dying for some kind of live sports activities. And now we're slowly starting to see golf events. They're talking about the Triple Crown horse racing at Belmont could be the first leg instead of the last leg of the Triple Crown. So, you know, people are pushing a little bit more and more. I just hope as a society, whatever we're doing, we're not pushing too much to where we have a relapse sometime by the fall.
Can you imagine they're letting these horses run without masks? Can you believe that?
I know. I mean, what are you going to do?
Just sacrifice the horse. Don't worry about it. No mask. All right, let me ask you about the Wentz dynamic. We talked a lot about this yesterday, and we threw it out. I don't know if you get this feeling at all, but I get this feeling that Wentz and Peterson aren't exactly tied at the hip for a number of reasons, not the least of which is who they took in the second round. But you're close to the situation. How do you feel about that?
I think there's the utmost respect between the two. I think Carson has a lot of respect for Doug because Doug is not just the head coach. Grooming a quarterback. He's a head coach who played the position. They have a lot of conversations, both on and off the field. I think there is a close relationship. Now, what does close mean? Who knows? Is it brother relationship? I don't know that, but I do think there is a great amount of respect between the two. And I do think Doug is doing everything possible to play to Carson's strength. Except for last year when they came out of the gate saying they wanted Carson to be more of a pocket presence. And I thought that was handcuffing him. But obviously as the season went along and he started losing frontline personnel, we got to see the Carson of old rolling out of the pocket, throwing on a run, tuck and run. And I think that's Carson's game. Don't restrict him and try to make him something that he's not. And hopefully Doug learned a valuable lesson in that regard.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. I just don't get the... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't get the huggy-huggy relationship between the two men. But hopefully you don't even need that to be successful. So we'll see what happens.
You mean like the brother hug you used to accuse me of giving players in post-game live?
Yeah. They don't have that. They don't do the D-gun brother hug. I would like to see a little more of the D-Gun brother hug between Carson Wentz and Doug.
That's close to many people, man.
All right, let me move it to another area because I want to really talk to you about this. This is a serious issue. We were talking about this yesterday. And I have a story in front of me. This is about the Rooney Rule and the changes they tried to make to it. And they teased that possibly they would have to go to the point where you improve your draft pick to hire a minority general manager or a coach. And I'm reading this story, and the headline says this: NFL's broken system is so racist, owners can't even be bribed to hire black people.
Mm.
Your thoughts on that?
I'm not going to go out and call a league racist when you consider over 70% of the workforce is of minority status. I do think the Rooney Rule has failed in terms of what it was implemented to do, which is to make the playing ground a little bit more equal. When you look at the fact that there's been 20 head coaching openings in the last 3 years and only three minorities were hired, there are currently only four minority head coaches in the National Football League and only two GMs out of 32 in the National Football League. It tells me that the rule has failed. The bottom line is, you know, I think the owners have basically said they're going to hire who they feel most comfortable with, for whatever the case may be. And let's face it, you can't force anybody to hire anybody they don't want to hire. I don't care what kind of rules you implement. You can put all the fines you want in place. You can't force somebody to do it. But I look at a guy like an Eric Bieniemy, who has a Super Bowl title now on his resume. He's less qualified than Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor, Cliff Kingsbury, Kevin Stefanski. Are you kidding me? So that basically tells you what the owners think for the most part in terms of what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, no matter what rule is instated.
Well, don't you think it's time where you can force? And this new regulation almost puts them in a position where you can force them to do it. So I'm curious now how you felt personally about the incentive of upgrading your draft pick, because maybe you have to get as drastic as that for these owners to pay attention to it.
I'm not on board with the draft pick scenario, because then I think minorities are getting hired for the wrong reasons. You know, I want to see the best candidates. I want to see the best candidates get hired. The thing I like about the rule is, okay, every team now has to interview two minorities for a head coaching position and at least one minority for offensive coordinator position. I think it opens the door and gives minorities more of an opportunity to see what the process is like in terms of sitting in front of team owners, general managers, so on and so forth, and going through the process. So I think it opens the door in that regard a little bit more. I would hope at some point that these owners would sit back and honestly say, okay, I'm going to go with the best candidate possible, no matter what color he may be, instead of going with who he feels most comfortable with.
That's not realistic, though, is it?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So what I'm saying is the only way to crack this is you got to give the owner an incentive to say, I'm helping my team by upgrading the draft. I know what you're saying. But right. Like, you almost said, these guys aren't going to respond to little things. They have to go, oh, am I going to help my team by moving up six in the? And that's the way you can force them to do it and crack this thing.
I still don't know if that'll work, though. I honestly don't know.
Well, guess what? The fan base, when faced with that they could have gotten an escalation of six on their draft pick, then they have to face their fan base on why they wouldn't want to move up six. That might be the only thing that forces them to do it.
And I think it falls in the same line of player of teams that draft in the top 10, top 12. Why did you take this player instead of this player? Then a year later, this player's stats compared to that player's stat, and this player played this amount. It's the same thing.
Well, you cross that bridge when you come to it, though.
Yeah, you're not going to appease everybody, no matter what you try to do.
All right, last question has anything to do with football. This is your sports knowledge expertise, because we're comparing an all-time Sixer team to an all-time Celtic team. The ESPN.com is doing something like that today. So the Sixer team, including two guys off the bench, that we have determined, is Iverson, Hal Greer, Will Chamberlain, Charles Barkley, Julius Erving. Off the bench is Bobby Jones and either Andrew Toney or Maurice Cheeks. Versus a Celtics team of Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Paul Pierce, Cousy, and Havlicek. Off the bench, McHale and either KG or the Chief.
Wow.
You're really gonna who you got?
You're really going to make me pick?
Yes.
Woo! Man, that's a tough one. Wow. Let's see. I live in the Philadelphia area. I'm going to go with this.
All right. That's well called, man. Derek, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, man. You guys have a good day.
All right. There he is, Derek Gunn.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.